ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Good evening, everyone. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
How are you all? Oh, good. Tonight, we're going to talk about balance. And, yes, balance. And how to organize our lives in such a way that we can keep our balance, not just physically, but I'm talking about doing all the things that we do in our lives in such a way that we can accommodate everything and not become overtaxed in any one area. Vaishnavas are generally balanced, and even in the qualities of Vaishnavas, it's mentioned that they don't overeat. That's a symptom of balance. And if kids get a little too fidgety in the class, there's a special two rooms for kids in the back. Somebody who's part of the Vedic Academy can help. And we don't want to torture them by leaving them in the class if it's not interesting to them. Vaishnavas are balanced eaters, which is a symptom of thinking about how one, well, when you're eating and you think, let me eat a balanced amount and the right amount and so forth, you're considering other aspects of your life. You don't want to just eat in the moment and then not be able to do anything the rest of the day because you ate too much or so. And that's symptomatic of all the activities that devotees who are on a high level of consciousness, who have attained a high level of consciousness, they're aware that it's important to balance in their lives so they don't become unproductive. So today we'll talk about balanced life, and here's the definition of balance. An even distribution of weight enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. And it comes from a word that means two scale pans. And everyone from India has probably seen a scale pan. It's a measurement system. You put a weight on one side and you put some eggplants on the other side. And you see how much they weigh, and then you can charge accordingly and so forth. This was the typical way of weighing things before. And I even remember as a kid at the co-op where my mother used to shop, they had a scale. And then digital came out, and now we don't get those anymore. It was more exciting the other way. So it has to do with an even distribution of weight. And we're going to start with an exercise so we can all stand up. Do you have an extra microphone?
Get some space. You'll need a little space.
Fine, there's lots of space in here, so find a space where you're not near a book, because you don't want to put your foot on one of the sacred scriptures. Yeah, plenty of room, so spread out. Okay, now take an even distribution of weight on the balls of your feet and just sort of rock back and forth a little bit on your feet evenly, and then come back to the balls of your feet and relax the upper part of your body and just feel how you have even distribution of weight on both feet. Can you feel that? Relax your upper body and let all the weight go onto your two feet evenly. Take a deep breath. And now you can raise your right foot and stand up on one leg, if you can. If you can't, then just wobble and then put your foot back down and come up pretty good. Some of you are really expert. Are you wobbling at all? Because it's good if you are. Okay, put your feet down, your foot anyway. How was that? Was everyone able to do that? Stand on one foot? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it again. Okay, stand up on the other foot. Raise your left foot in the air. Stand up on your right foot only. Everyone feel comfortable there? Okay, get balanced. We do have insurance, don't worry. Okay. Everyone okay? Okay, now close your eyes. Close your eyes. Keep them closed. Don't open them. If you fall back down, that's okay. Close your eyes. On one foot with your eyes closed. Some of you are jumping all over the place. And a couple of you, I'm really amazed to see, have very good balance. Okay, you can put your foot down. Open your eyes. Now, when you stood up on one foot and you closed your eyes, how did you do? Was it harder with your eyes closed or about the same? Everyone who says it's harder, raise your hand. Okay, you can sit back down. And give yourselves a hand, by the way. I'm really impressed how well you all balance. One point I'd like to make about balance at the outset is that we all balance all the time. It's actually a miracle, because if you try to build a little robot, and Google right now is spending billions of dollars trying to build robots. They're buying all the robotic companies all over the world and concentrating on developing robots. And one of the most difficult things is to get them to balance properly and walk upstairs, you know, reach for a can on one leg and so forth. We do it all the time, and we don't even think about it. So balance is something that we're used to. And keep that in mind, that we're already pretty good at it. Now, the reason it's harder to balance when you have your eyes closed is because you're missing one of your senses. Now, before I go into that, one of the definitions of balance is to remain upright and steady. So that's the goal. To remain upright and steady. And of course, physically, upright and steady means you're able to walk progressively from one place to the other without falling over. And in a general sense, in life, it means that we don't lose our moral values. We're able to steadily do what we need to do. As Prabhupada says in one place in the Bhagavad Gita, that a yogi is one who is able to act according to his plan. You ever had this experience where you have a plan that I'm going to read a certain amount, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do other things, and then you just don't do it? Yes, one person. That's pretty good. Everyone else has not had that. So to be able to remain upright and steady. And upright also means when you, as Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, you may be defamed in some way. Even you didn't ask for it, you didn't deserve it, but somehow you get criticized, you get defamed. Somebody criticizes you and so forth. Can you remain upright in that situation? Or do you become morose and carry it with you and you're not able to function after that and so forth? In loss and gain, Krishna says, one has to remain equipoised, which is another kind of balance. It means to remain balanced. In loss or gain, when you lose something valuable in your life, do you have a way to remain steady and upright? When you get a windfall, do you suddenly lose your head and forget about your discipline or so, and these kinds of things? All this has to do with remaining upright and steady. Because we'll inevitably go through changes in our life. The world is changing around us at a rapid pace. And as we're moving through it, how well can we stick to our goals? Can we stick to our morals and so forth? This is balance. This is interesting. I'm not getting a lot of Maybe the battery's not working. There. That's better. Okay, so a couple lessons. One is that we balance all the time. And it's something that we're used to. And another lesson about balance is that it doesn't mean you're going to stay perfectly still. When you're balancing, you're moving back and forth, actually. There are hundreds and thousands of muscles and other that are moving and firing at the same time in order to keep you balanced. And when you're moving from one place to the next, for instance, if you fly in an airplane from San Francisco to Toronto, for instance, and if you look on the little in-flight map that shows you which way the flight goes, it shows a straight line or slightly curved line that's going all from San Francisco to Toronto. But there is no absolute straight line. You're always pulling back to the center. And vision means, the metaphor I'm trying to make here, is when you close your eyes and you lose context, and then you start to wobble, and it's a lot harder to stay up. So similarly in our lives, to remain upright and steady, if we have a clear idea what our goal is, where we're going, and what the center is, how to come back to the center so that we can move towards our goal, then it's a lot easier to balance. If we're not sure what that is, we'll tip over. We'll be pulled from one side to the next. One minute I'm into a certain philosophy, discipline, and 2 years later, you know, I'm into something else completely different. And I can move from side to side and fall over. So if I have vision, if I have a clear idea of where I'm going and why I'm going there, then it will allow me to stay balanced. So that will be an important theme for tonight, because we're also going to talk about setting goals, which never ceases to intrigue me, because, first of all, we have volition. That means we have the free will to change our life at any time. And that means that any one of us at any time of the day or night can decide to do things differently than we're doing now. And we can set a new course. We can go in a different direction if we just decide it's valuable to us and we start going and we make a plan, which means we make a goal to go in that direction. Then all we have to do is make the steps, decide what is the next step to move towards that goal. And we have to start doing it, and then we can move in that way. And that requires prioritizing. Stephen Covey, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. And sometimes that requires neglecting some things. Priority means you have to neglect some things and pick up others. So the word neglect comes from negligere, which means neg, means not, and legere means to pick up. There's certain things that you should pick up and other things that you should just leave where they are. And having the discrimination to do that is a symptom of balance. Some things to pick up, some things to leave behind. And how to choose what to pick up and when. You want to find the right fruits and the ripe fruits first. So here's a little chart that you can copy and you can use to help guide your life and decide what your priorities are, which will help keep you balanced. Because we have a lot of information to process every day. Millions of thoughts and images come into our mental system every minute. And we can become influenced by those. You can be pulled in one direction or another. So unless you consciously decide what's important and what's not important, what's urgent and what's not urgent, and where the confluence of those are, then you can be picking up the wrong things and neglecting those things which are more important than others. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Makes sense to Makaravind? Okay. So look at this little chart. Some things are important and some things are not important. First of all, let's name some things that are important in our lives. I'm not just talking about spiritual life, I'm talking about material life in any realm, material, spiritual life. Just tell me what things are important in our lives every day. Eating. Eating is important, otherwise, okay, chanting is important for maintaining your spiritual health. Cleanliness is important. Your job is important. You got to make some money, right? Other things? What?
Exercise.
Exercise is important. Yes. Family. Your family is important. What, Vrindavan? Huh? What do you say?
Watching.
Water? Water. Water is very important. Yeah, we should drink enough water. It's true. Water is very important. Any other things you consider important?
Reading.
Breathing. Okay. So what are some things that are in your life now that come to you every day that are not important?
TV.
Okay. TV stands for television, right? Okay. There's a movement I heard called Cut the Cord. Okay?
Arguing
is not, something that Bhumi is saying is not important. Of course, we can qualify and say all of these things. There may be something important on the television, or there may be an important argument at some point. But just to qualify that. But generally, we're putting out general things that are in our lives are coming to our consciousness that are not important. What are some things that happen to you every day or that you have to make a decision about that are not important?
Gossiping,
not important. What else?
Social obligations.
Okay, that's a fine line there. We'd have to use this chart to figure out, we can refine it a little bit more, some of these things too. And that's why there's two sides to this and there's a confluence between these two things. Because, it may turn out to be important. But if you're a mendicant or something like that, or if you take sannyas, social obligations may be wholly unimportant to you.
Working more than required.
Not important. Okay. By definition, not the internet, surfing the internet. Looking at Facebook Facebook can be used as a tool. It can be preaching. There are people that are discussing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But I guess the sense I'm getting is there are certain things which we do idly. It means we're really not thinking about it. We're just doing it as a time waster. And some of them are actually harmful, like arguing in a sense just for the sake of arguing, the arguing spirit, tit for tat with everything anybody says, just to try to be right without trying to come to a conclusion that will be beneficial. Others, mean some specific things that might be unimportant in your life that happen to you every day or you have to decide about.
What happened?
That are not important.
Sleeping more than required?
Yes, Bhumi. Oh, we're not using the microphones. I don't know why, but could we have them out there?
In the world of Krishna consciousness, like for instance, I do spend a lot of time on the internet, on Facebook particularly, but I notice that we spend a lot of time focused on things that have nothing to do with us. They may have something to do with Krishna consciousness. We're not going to resolve them by discussing them, and yet people want to discuss them, and people get angry and heated, and it's divisive, and devotees get in arguments, and nothing ever comes from it. It's not like they resolve issues by discussing them.
That's a very, making it more specific, there may be things that, as you're saying, devotees are arguing about issues that may never come to a resolution, number one, and it seems like they never haven't over a long time, and also just makes both sides polarized even more. and this kind of arguing, which you brought up before, arguing and making it more specific, maybe not important. Yes. Okay. All right, so now let's look how this chart works when you put the two sides together. We have things that are important and not important. And really, you have to think about this. Now, as I said, these things are relative because you may have a goal in life, and then you realize some things are important and not other things are not important. They may be important to somebody else. But according to the goal you've set for yourself, you have to see what's important and what's not important. Now, some things are urgent and not urgent. What are some things that are urgent in your life? Anybody had to face an urgent situation recently in school or anywhere else?
Well, I think making a living is urgent.
Making a living is urgent, okay.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay the bills?
Yeah,
because
the bills are going to be there, and if you don't put that as an urgent priority, you're going to...
So if the electricity bill comes and you don't think it's urgent and you just leave it, and some people do that. Some people live like that, and then they forget to pay the electric bill, and then the lights go out. And everyone says, what happened? You know, was there a lightning strike? And said, no, I just forgot to pay the bill. So priorities are a little off. So it's urgent. There are certain things you have to pay in 30 days. Debt, fire, and disease. This is the statement by some philosopher, that these three things are always urgent. If you have a debt, you should pay it off as quickly as possible. Otherwise, there can be penalties and interest. And you'll go in a downward spiral financially. Fire, I'll get it later. Disease, important, urgent actually, because you know if you catch things early, then you can deal with them usually in a much more efficient way than if you let them become full blown and then there's no hope. Debt, fire, and disease, and many things in this category. There are items that are urgent. Can you think of any other things, specific things in your life, things that have happened to you that were urgent you had to take care of?
Yeah, health issues, like if anybody gets into an accident or emergency.
Okay, yeah, those are very urgent. You have to take care of them right away. You have to drop everything else and go take care of it, right? That would be an urgent situation, is something, all of the things, you just drop it. Another one, yes.
Production issue. Systems are not running and you're on support, and that's a very urgent issue.
In your profession? Yeah. Okay. Everyone could relate to that? Okay, and not urgent. Certain things in your life are not urgent.
Replying to an email.
Replying to certain emails?
Certain emails, yeah.
Okay. Some may be urgent, some may be not urgent. You can categorize them. Anything specific in your life that's something that you need to do, but it's not urgent? In other words, you have to do it, but it's not urgent right now. What's that? Shopping?
Shopping
for college?
Calling someone unnecessarily over and over and shopping.
Calling and shopping? Okay. I mean, it's not urgent? Yes.
Exercise.
Let's help you out on this one. You did that on purpose. So, yes, we have something else that's not urgent. You need to do it, but it's not urgent right now. Yes? Facebook.
Vacation.
You need to do Facebook? Vacation? Okay. Vacation is something you need to do. You need to recreate every once in a while, but it may not be urgent. You may be able to wait a few months, or it's in the future, or something like that, right? It's not something you have to do right now, whereas an accident or a fire or a debt or something is urgent. It's just practical. Some things you can put off. Some things you can procrastinate. You can neglect. You don't have to pick them up right now. And other things, you better pick them up right now. You have to discriminate. Yes?
Refilling the pantry.
Refilling the pantry may be not urgent.
Do it sometime.
But you have to do it sometime. Okay. Yeah, so those in managerial accounting, they look at all these different categories of things, and they have to decide, because if some things are necessary but they're not urgent, you can put them off. You save money that way. So you don't have to do it right away. You do things in the order that there's FIFO and LIFO, first in, last out, last in, first out. You know, you have to decide what's most important, what are priorities. Now, when you put the two important, put the two categories together, it becomes even more interesting. Some things are urgent and important, and some things are urgent but not important. That's profound, isn't it? Because somebody might bring you an urgent, some kind of urgency and thrust it upon you, but it's not really important. It seems urgent, but it's not that important. Can you think of anything in that category?
Somebody posted a photo on a Facebook.
Okay. And they say you have to look at it right away or something like that? But it's not important. It's just a cartoon or a doodle they did. And say, you got to see this right away. What, you know, like, there's some urgency about it. But it's not important. And if you don't look at it, it's no big deal. And it's not going to make any difference to you, right? Do you see this category? There are things that come to you that say urgent, urgent. And many letters you get in the mail, the classic example, they say urgent, open right away, time sensitive. You notice that it's a form letter. It's not really to you. It's not going to change your life unless you open the letter and get all involved in it. And it says that it's urgent, but it's not important. It's not something that you have to open right now. So then there are things that are urgent and important. What comes in that category? Chanting is urgent and important.
Finishing, like Vrindavan has a lot of like assignments to submit, so very time bound.
Yes,
so
it's important because if he doesn't hand them in, then he'll, you know, his grades will go down. He'll fail the class, and you have to do it by a certain time. So it's urgent, right? It's due tomorrow. You got to do it, and it's important. That's urgent and important. Okay.
Health, medical care, and exercise could be urgent and important.
That's right. Medical care, some health-related issue may be urgent and important. If you start feeling chest pains, for instance, you know, it's important to go get it checked out, and it's urgent at the same time. You know, other things like having your nails painted. It's urgent because, you know, the party's coming up tomorrow. But it's not really that important. You can live without it. Okay, yes, another one? Someone said?
Yeah, the urgent important cross-section is like you are already late for the meeting and you have to plan a travel or book a air ticket. So, I mean, it's urgent because you are already late, and it's important because you have to be there in the meeting.
Nice. Good example. Okay, then we come to another category. Yes, Malini.
Sending out the emails about the tile wall, what was urgent and important.
Urgent and important about the tile wall. Because it's, you know, December's coming to the end, the marathon, there's a deadline and so forth. Nice. Okay. And then we have important but not urgent. Yes. Okay. Another thing that's urgent and important?
Yeah, well, because we were about to go into the Christmas marathon, and I didn't have even one book. And I didn't know where I was going to get books from. So I started, you know, putting the word out. And that was urgent and important because I had nothing to distribute.
Nice. Very good. Good. Okay. Sundarananda Prabhu?
Important non-urgent planning.
Like what? Be more specific. Planning what?
Planning your day or planning weeks ahead.
Okay.
Or planning how to achieve a goal.
Right. Urgent means if you don't do it right now, it may not ruin the whole plan. It's important, but it's not urgent. Okay?
Retirement
Retirement planning is important, but not urgent unless you're ready to retire right now. And it's affecting you, yeah. It's not important when you're 20 unless you're Shukadev Goswami. Okay.
Maybe reading a book that will help you grow yourself. May not. It's important that you have to grow, but it's
okay.
Not urgent.
And you may put it in a stack and say, I'll get to this. You know, it's very important to you, but it's not urgent. You first have to, you know, cook dinner and pay the bills and finish a few assignments that you have for your school. And then, you know, you can read it next week or next month, whatever. But so it's very important, but it's not urgent. Okay, those are good. And then here's a category I love. Not important and not urgent. Everyone's picking on Facebook tonight. So this is an interesting place to focus for the new year. If we all have feelings about Facebook or we're not using it fully, you know, in Krishna's service or in a productive way, it may come up when you start looking at this. If there are persistent areas, there are areas here where there are persistent ideas about things that are not important, not urgent, and so forth in your life, you might want to start writing them in the boxes here and saying, you know, these things are taking away a lot of my time for the things that are important and urgent, or that are important and not urgent. You know, that side should be filled up. So what are some other things that are not important and not urgent?
Trying out new recipes.
Trying out new recipes, okay. Not important, not urgent. Unless you're a chef, you know. Vacation, not important. Vacation might be important, though, because you have to take time sometimes to recollect your energies, your thoughts, things like that. It may be more in the category of important but not urgent. Yes?
Following sports.
Not important, not urgent. Right. Unless that's your lifestyle and you're betting on sports or something, then it becomes very urgent. And some people, that's, you know, some people fill up their whole lives with this category. I would say, like, playing video games. How about that one? It's not important and not urgent. It's not, you know, it falls into this category where it's basically a waste of time. Anything? Yes? Reading news, newspapers, 24-hour news cycle. It's not important, not urgent. And interestingly about that, they means journalists, to make a living, create a certain urgency, don't they? And advertisers for any kind of product, it's new, it's now, it's you have 3 days to buy it, it's kind of an urgency. Is it important?
No.
Well, judge by the time. When I was a kid, I remember during Christmas, because it's a time of gift giving, and kids especially, you know, they want stuff. So I remember this game I wanted to have. I saw it somewhere, and it was a little arcade where you shoot a gun and it shoots down these little things going around. That was the level of high tech we had back then. But I couldn't stop dreaming about it, and I thought if I get that, it was so impressive to my friends and everything. And I was practically in a trance, you know, of desire to have this toy. And my parents got it for me. I couldn't believe it. Or Santa did. And there it was. I opened it on Christmas morning, and, you know, and I remember by that afternoon, I was tired of it. I didn't want to see it again. Is that it? That's all? I played with it a few times, and it just got thrown in the garage, and eventually, I don't know where it is now, but it probably disintegrated back into the earth. It was not important and not urgent, although I created this kind of urgency in myself. But this is the point. We have to carefully discern which things are important and urgent. They're urgent but not important. They're important and not urgent. They're not important, not urgent. If you take a little time, even on the fly, you don't have to sit down at every moment with this chart and put everything in, although that's not a bad idea for some of the general activities that one does in one's life. But if we start developing a discriminating attitude towards the things that come to us on a regular basis, is this important and urgent? Is it important and not urgent? Is it not important but urgent? there are categories you can put these things in. And there's a really good book you can read for organizing your life and your things and your activities called Getting Things Done. It's a book written by David Allen, and he has a very commonsensical way of organizing these kinds of categories in your life, where to put certain pieces of paper that come across your desk and other kinds of tasks. And living in that way is sattvic. You have a place for everything and everything in its place. And when you live like that, you also have your bhajan in order also. You have your bhajan in order. That way you have more time to concentrate on your spiritual life, because you're not frantically running after things that you forgot to do, and you know where everything is and so forth. Now how was that so far? Did you find that chart helpful? Yes? Okay. Here's another one that a lot of devotees in Toronto, we just talked about this recently up in Canada, and the devotees said that they really like this circle. Circle of concern versus circle of influence. So there's a certain amount we can do, a certain number of people and things that we can influence in our life. And there are many things that we can't influence, people and things and situations. When we move from the circle of influence, that is the things we can do something about, into the circle of concern, that's called worry. And you can't do anything about it, but still you let it dwell in your mind over and over again. And it drains your energy, it drains your concentration, and you get out of balance because you get stressed and you feel overwhelmed and so forth, and you lose your balance. So another technique for balancing your life is to consider very carefully, what is your circle of influence? In any given situation, if something comes up and something you weren't expecting and you didn't really want to happen happens, now you can consider, anything I can do about this? Can I influence this situation in any way? And if not, and you keep dwelling on it and it preoccupies your mind, then you become ineffective. So let's have just a little discussion about this, things that are in your circle of influence and things that are outside your circle of influence. Any general comments about this? After seeing this chart, are there some things that you can think of that you might have worried about that are outside your circle of influence? Yes, Mukharavind.
Why someone is saying like this? Why someone doesn't do like this? Even we always this outside of our circle of influence.
Why certain people say things or do things?
Yeah.
You can't change other people, right? You worry about it.
Yeah, until they submit themselves to you. Unless they tell you explicitly that yes, I want to know. And it just we are trying to correct them, but they are not. Not trying to even correct, just we are thinking why he's doing this, why he should do like this. Or.
All right, so generally, things other people do. You can't it's difficult to control what other people do. And that may be outside your circle of influence. Can you think of some things that other people do that are outside your circle of influence? Yes?
Other people's bad habits.
Like? People who smoke, when you walk out, I get off the plane after flying 6 hours. I walk out the door at the San Francisco airport and immediately take in a big inhalation of cigarette smoke because everyone stands right outside the door and smokes. Okay.
I was thinking like drinking, procrastination, all the other bad habits. You can't really do anything about it.
What other people do?
Yeah, what other people.
Okay, so things that other people do. Can you say anything specific? Yes, Gandharvika. How others perceive
you. Perceive us.
Okay. Outside your circle of influence? Natural calamities outside your circle of influence. Good point. Stock market outside. You can't time the market. Nobody can. They found that monkeys throwing darts at a at a board sometimes do better than trained investors. Srivas? Inflation. I mean, maybe Ben Bernanke or somebody like that can do something about it, or we can try. But we can't. These are big issues, macro issues that, you know, we really can't control. Yes?
The stock market.
Stock market, yes.
When you invest in that, some people like say it's not a gambling. So do from the conception.
Turn it towards you, the microphone.
From the conception of gambling, like where you totally believe in luck. So do we as an institution believe that it's a gambling?
It's not germane to the conversation. I'll answer it later. Yes. Political, yes, you had a point.
You know, things which are like worrying about your own limitations, you wish that, I wish I could do this better. Or
I wish I was taller or something like that. Yeah, things like that. Maybe outside our circle of influence, you had a point. What's that? Train is late. Okay. Outside your circle of influence, the train is late. Travel is a big thing. You really have to be patient when you travel because when you're at home, you get what you want. When you travel, you get what you get. Yes.
Working with outside people, like professionally.
Working with outside people professionally, outside your circle of influence. So many things outside the circle of influence, but yet I hang on to them and they whip me around and around and around and around. But if I understand that I have a certain circle of influence, and generally our circle of influence, if we consider it very carefully, and I'm asking you to do this in this seminar about balance, consider what is actually your circle of influence and narrow it down to the things you really can do something about. Think about it. Take time in the new year to you know, sit down with a legal, empty legal pad and a pen and write down all the things that are in your circle of influence. And then make a list of all the things that are outside your circle of influence that you've been carrying around, that you've been worrying about. And it really helps because to keep you in balance. I had some management problem I was dealing with that I was in deep anxiety about. So I went to a few God brothers and I was talking to them about this issue I was dealing with. And, you know, we talked it over, and I got some nice guidance and solace. But then one of them sent me a verse a few days later from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Brahma tells Prithu Maharaj, who is in deep, deep anxiety, he wanted to kill Indra because he was trying to accomplish something, and that was to perform 100 Ashwamedha yajnas. And Srivas is going to grab the verse. And he got to 99, and Indra got envious, and he kept stealing the horse. He disguised himself as a sannyasi, and he'd come down, he'd steal the horse. They chased after him. He'd get away because he was a sannyasi, fake sannyasi. And then he'd steal it again. And the whole thing was ruined, and he couldn't get to his 100th. And then he wanted to kill Indra. And so Brahma came, and he told Prithu Maharaj that when things beyond your circle of influence happen, and they come as destiny in such a powerful way that you have no control over them, but yet you still try to control them, you enter into the darkest regions of anxiety. I'm going to read you the verse in purport, and this will change your life. And if you've already heard this before, I'm going to read it again, and it'll change your life all over again. Are you ready? My dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments, PIs. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. Here's the purport. Fasten your safety belt. Sometimes, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who gives us unlimited commonsensical advice that we can use every single day. Here it is. This is verse 4:19:34. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection. We should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. Feel better? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So he sent me this verse, dear Godbrother, and I read it, and it was the sweetest medicine I ever took. I immediately felt relief from my anxiety. It solved my problem, and it took me out of the realm of worry and back into my circle of influence, and I realized it's providential. And since that time, what seemed to be a major problem has been solved. Actually, Krishna solved it in a way that I could have never imagined. And I never imagined it could. And all the experts said it wouldn't be solved in that way. But it was. And the only thing that changed after was my consciousness. I moved out of my circle of concern into my circle of influence. And I realized I marked it as providential. I marked it as Krishna's arrangement. I put it in a different category, and now it wasn't worry anymore. Now it wasn't whipping me around. It wasn't knocking me over. My balance was back. I was able to remain upright and steady. And, you know, those who are managers know that there are so many things that you come up with every day. People come and lay at your doorstep. Here, take this bag of, you know, whatever it is, and just deal with it now. And then there it is. Now you have to remain upright and steady and deal with it. One thing after another after another. How do you balance? How do you do it? You have to prioritize. You have to see what's urgent, what's important, what's outside your circle of influence and into your circle of concern, and deal with methodically. I have a godbrother that I've been working with for the last a year and a half who is a manager, a very expert manager. He's a disciple of Prabhupada, been around for many years, and I just by having his association and watching how he deals with major problems, and he's dealing with many major kinds of issues that can be very nerve-wracking. And I just observe how he deals with them methodically. He just starts at the beginning and moves through it. And although they're concerning and sort of even dangerous issues, they can... He doesn't become tipped over one way or another because he sees that he has a certain circle of influence and he troubleshoots. I think that's the best word for it. You start at the beginning and what's the next step? You do this, you do this, you do that. What do you do next? And you do that. And you deal with it in whatever way is within your circle of influence right now. And in this way, you remain upright and steady and you don't become tipped over by various severe situations. Comments? Yes, Vittal.
Prabhuji, I was thinking if one of the main causes for all the problems which I face is because not able to distinguish what exactly is our circle of influence and what is the circle of concern, right? We think that we have a big circle of influence, while in reality it might be very small. What do you think? Or is this an escapist activity?
Yeah, that's exactly the problem, the lack of discrimination. So you have to have vision, you have to discriminate, and take some time to look at what you can actually affect and what you can't affect. And practice not chasing after so many things that you're taking on and leave them. I mean, a lot of times, just like in counseling, In counseling, if you try to solve everyone's problems, you'll fall short because you can't. And therefore, counselors generally more are there to listen to people rather than try to solve their problems. This is the difference between your circle of influence and the circle of concern. For instance, if you counsel somebody that's got a problem they bring to you, if you say, here's classic mistake number one, sure, I'll help you out, I'll solve your problem. Now you're finished for the rest of your life because their problem's never going to be solved. And now you're hitched up to it. And you're going to be pulled all around the universe, wherever they go, just by that one sentence that says, yeah, don't worry, I'll solve your problem. You're now connected in a way that you cannot possibly fulfill. It's outside your circle of influence. But if you say, sure, I'll listen. Let me listen to what your problem is. You can do that. Anybody can do that. And 90% of the time in counseling, if you just listen to someone carefully and not try to prescribe to them right away, you know, how to fix their problem, which is generally what most people do. Somebody starts telling them problems. That happened to me. Here, I'll tell you how to solve it. And as Stephen Covey says in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, that it's just like somebody walks in and said, I'm having a hard time seeing. My vision is going down. So here, just take my glasses. You don't really listen to them. You just say, yeah, I know about that. Here's some glasses. They're mine. They work for me, so it must work for you. But a better way to deal with it is just to say, you know, if I understand you correctly, you're having this problem. And it sounds to me as if what you're saying is, you know, every day you come home and you open the refrigerator and you eat a whole half gallon of ice cream. Is that the problem? Yeah, that's the problem. So that's very interesting. So, you know, if you listen, and this is one example, but you have to refine in all areas of your life and look very carefully what you can influence. And mostly what we can influence is our own heart, our own mind. And that means that we can ask something of ourselves that we can't ask others to do. And a lot of times that works really well anyway, because by example, one can influence people in a more powerful and sustainable way. And we do have volition to change. We can change ourselves. We can make new habits and so forth. That is within our circle of influence. We can do something about the way we think about others, the way we think about ourselves, the way we perform our activities during the day and so forth. So as homework and an exercise for the new year, take some time to look carefully at your circle of influence and just meditate on it. When things come to you, and they will, that seem to be difficult to deal with, think first, is this within my circle of influence? Can I actually deal with this? Is it something I can do? Is it providential? Is it something that actually concerns me? Is it my problem to deal with, or is it their problem to deal with? And even if it's my problem, can I deal with it? Is something I can do right now? And then you can also look at the other chart too and see, is it urgent and important? Is it not urgent, not important, and so forth? And learn to get rid of those things, put them aside, neglect them. And neglect is a very powerful instrument for being equipoised. It means know what to let go. Know what to not pick up. That's what neglect means. Knowing what not to pick up. It's over there, and if you pick it up, it's yours. Now you have to deal with it. So just don't pick it up in the first place if it doesn't concern you. So these are a few basics of balance. And another one is to be an expert horseman. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivast Pandit Prabhu will verify for us, there's a verse which in the 11th canto, and he knows right where it is, he's going right for it, that says that a yogi or a devotee should be like an expert horseman, and the mind is the horse. And we have reins. And sometimes, as an expert horseman lets the reins out a little bit, knowing that the horse needs to run, and then sometimes pulls the reins back a little bit. Now, this has to be administered carefully, because then one can then say, oh, yeah, sure, we'll just let it run. You have to be careful and observe the activities of the mind and not always be pulling back and trying to push. But sometimes if you let back a little bit and know how to balance, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you should be yukta. You should be balanced, regulated, and so forth. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta chestasya karmasu, yukta swapnavabodasya, yogo bhavati dukaha. That if you're yukta or balanced in the way that you eat, the way that you recreate, the way that you sleep, and so forth, he said you can do away with all miseries in life. So balance means the ability to do two things at the same time. And we're doing these kinds of things all the time. I think this. He's giving someone some encouragement. Left hand's got it on a mouse. One's on a mouse, one's got a pen with a plume on the end, the other's got a cell phone. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, one, this is balance. One should be able to do two things at the same time, and I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. And by the way, this phrase, at the same time, appears throughout the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita frequently. This is text number 7 in chapter 8. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. Purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time, everyone say at the same time, think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. This is balance. So Krishna never advised Arjuna that give up your work. He said, at the same time, think of me. So you have prescribed duties, you have occupations, Krishna's messages, you do them, but at the same time, you have to remember me. And in the Sri Ushupanishad, vidyam chayas, tadvedo bayam saha, avidyayam ratum tirtva, vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side, same time, can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. Bhumi. Microphone. Here it comes.
There's also an example, and this is along the same lines. There's the example of the lotus flower. And the lotus flower is situated in the water, and often the water is mucky. But at the same time, he's never touched by the water. The lotus flower is never touched by the water. So is that kind of also a same time thing?
It is. It's perfect analogy. And here it is. It's 5:10. And Krishna says, one who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results under the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. And this means that he's surrendering the results of his work. And one thing to keep in mind is that we work and then the results are up to Krishna. In other words, we do the best we can. And we shouldn't become attached to the results. This is something Krishna says throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And here he says you should surrender the results to Krishna and not be attached to them. And in that way, although you're doing work, although you're working in the world, you won't be affected by it. And the lotus, yes, it does grow out of the muck, but then it goes out through the water. But then the lotus leaf, what Krishna is saying here, it's not, although it's in the water, it's not touched by the water. Brahman yadaya karmani sangam tyakva krotiya lipitena sapapena padma patram ivambasa. He says, you're not touched by sin if you are not attached to the results. of your work, if you surrender them to Krishna. In the same way, he says, the lotus leaf is untouched by water, even though it's right in the water. And to understand that, you actually have to observe a lotus leaf minutely, because it's miraculous how the water beads up. And obviously, although it's on it, it doesn't touch it at all. Thank you, Srivas Pandit Prabhu. You're such a...
Can you read the number?
Asset. Yes. That's Canto 11, Chapter 20, text number 21. An expert horseman desiring to tame a headstrong horse first lets the horse have his way for a moment, and then pulling the reins gradually places the horse on the desired path. Similarly, the supreme yoga process is that by which one carefully observes the movements and desires of the mind and gradually brings them under full control. Purport. Just as an expert rider intimately knows the propensities of an untamed horse and gradually brings the horse under control, an expert yogi allows the mind to reveal its materialistic propensities and then controls them through superior intelligence. A learned transcendentalist withholds and supplies sense objects so that the mind and senses remain fully controlled, just as the horseman sometimes pulls sharply on the reins and sometimes allows the horse to run freely. The rider never forgets his actual goal or destination and eventually places the horse on the right path. Similarly, a learned transcendentalist, even though sometimes allowing the senses to act, never forgets the goal of self-realization, nor does he allow the senses to engage in sinful activity. Excessive austerity or restrictions may result in great mental disturbance, just as pulling excessively on the reins of a horse may cause the horse to rear up against the rider. The path of self-realization depends upon clear intelligence, and the easiest way to acquire such expertise is to surrender to Lord Krishna. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. One may not be a great scholar or spiritual intellect, but if one is sincerely engaged in loving service to the Lord without personal envy or personal motivation, the Lord will reveal from within the heart the methodology required to control the mind. Expertly riding the waves of mental desire, a Krishna-conscious person does not fall from the saddle, and he eventually rides all the way back home, back to Godhead. How did you like that purport? It's useful, isn't it? To know that, you know, you're observing the mind and watching what its propensities are, and you have to be expert like a horseman. And severe austerities and just yanking the mind back and saying, I'm going to fast all day. Of course, some days it may be beneficial to do that. In targeted ways, like an Ekadashi. But later on in these instructions, Lord Krishna points out that sometimes to control the tongue, actually it's not Lord Krishna, he's citing someone else who's mentioning how sometimes yogis perform severe austerities by fasting, and then later on the tongue becomes even more voracious. And the mind conspires and says, look, I fasted for all this time, I should eat twice as much now. And then you're thrown off track. So balance is something that requires finesse. It requires some observation and intelligence. And it's not just about renunciation or pulling this way or that way, but you have to pull appropriately and in that way learn to control the mind. And we also have to do our work and at the same time be Krishna conscious. And this is balance. You have to do two things at the same time. And one way to do that, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay, so this is just a little bit about balance, but remember that you already balance all the time. It's what you do to stay upright and steady and just walk around. And observe how the body works. And observe that it moves back and forth while you're trying to balance. So don't think that just because you veered off the course a little bit that you're not balancing. It's the pulling back to the center that's the balance. It's not the fact that you wobble one way or the other. Everybody wobbles. And you learn from that too. It's actually part of the process of balancing is coming back to the center. But vision is important. As soon as you eliminate the vision and you don't know where you're going and you're not sure what your priorities are, then you'll wobble all over the place and you'll fall and you won't know how to come back to the center. So those are three lessons in balance. And you can look at some of those tools and see if they help you. Okay? Now I want to mention something about goal setting right after Mukaravinda Prabhu makes an excellent point that seals the whole section on balance.
I have some question.
Okay.
Like we hear from Chaitanya Chaitamrita that Mayar Mukta Jivenai Swata Krishna Gyan, like a conditioned soul doesn't have the knowledge about Krishna on itself. So suppose sometime we are trying to bring some person in Krishna consciousness. And so how much is the circle of influence work? Like how much we should try? Because we are saying, suppose we called one time, two time, three time is not coming. So where to draw line and is always give me question. I'm not able to decide where is circle of influence over and where the Maya is really taken over. And so can you please...
So if I understand you correctly, your question is that when we're teaching Krishna consciousness to somebody else and trying to bring them closer to Krishna, where's the balance in how hard we should push? What's our circle of influence with them?
Yeah, thank you.
How should we judge when we should keep trying and when we should let go and so forth? Well, of course, in the Bhagavatam, we have the instruction for Madhyama Adhikaris. Those means preachers. Actually, Prabhupada says the Madhyama Adhikari is one who knows how to do good for others. That's what a Madhyama Adhikari is. Has the spirit that I should do good for others. Sarva Bhuta Hiteirataha, which Krishna says in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is this is the preoccupation of the Madhyama Adhikari. Sarva Bhuta Hiteirataha. He's always thinking how to do good for others. And then Kavi Yogendra, Kavi Yogendra says that there's a way in which we should see that there are some people who are envious and some people who are innocent. And just like a physician observes his patient very carefully, asks a lot of questions, sees what the symptoms are and so forth, and then discerns how far along the disease is, what kind of disease they have and so forth, and then administers the medicine accordingly. And sometimes he'll stop administering the medicine or, you know, it's something that on a moment-to-moment basis or a day-to-day basis you have to judge. So you have to become expert in seeing how open people are and also if they're envious, we neglect them or we don't try to influence them in any way. That's the admonition of the scripture. And if they're innocent, then we should try in every way to help them along. And that you have to judge on a case-by-case basis. Generally, because there are so many people, we try to do the best we can, but not to try to drag everyone across the finish line, if possible. But there's ways in which... for instance, Srila Prabhupada set up a whole organization so that people from everywhere could come in and take to the process and gradually improve over time. So devotees who are concerned with larger and larger numbers of people and how to actually accommodate them in Krishna consciousness, they'll think in bigger terms and how to set up systems so that all kinds of people are accommodated. Like some people need a lot more time hearing and chanting because they have a great hunger for it and they have a lot of questions and so forth. And other people just need a steady drip system until they become more ready and so forth. So you have to set up different layers so that all kinds of people can stay in contact with Krishna consciousness and then come along. And then there's sort of a realization that some people come to Krishna consciousness and then they go away. And then they come back. So we also have to account for that because Tyakvasa Dharmam Charanam Bujam Harer Bhajana Pakvota Patet Tato Yadi. Narada Muni says sometimes people give up everything to come to Krishna consciousness, and then later on, due to immaturity, they fall back down again. He says there's no loss, because whatever advancement they made in Krishna consciousness is permanent. And again, we see sometimes when there's a strong preacher who has strong faith and also can give good arguments from Shastra and is very convinced and convincing, can influence somebody, whereas somebody who's not so experienced or doesn't have such strong faith cannot. And we've seen also sometimes even just distributing books and so forth, there may be a circumstance where, you know, one person tries and the person's, you know, not interested. The next person tries and then they say yes, because they may have more influence over the person.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, I'll think about it more. So I want to talk a little bit about goal setting, because it goes along with balance. And also, boy, what time is it? Oh, I see, it's Wednesday. It's not Sunday, is it? On these holidays, I always think it must be Sunday or something. Oh, our time's so limited. Is that Hari Guru? Yes. Hari Guru is back at ISV. Let's give him a big welcome. Hare Krishna. One of the great pioneers of the ISV book distribution here at ISV, Hari Guru Prabhu, who I remember came to ISV, took one look at the book distribution program. The next day, he showed up with a brand new car and told me to come outside and have a look at it. He popped open the trunk, and it was full of books and a book table, and he was ready to go to Santa Cruz, which became his regular spot. And he went every day, every weekend for a long time, and has since been an influence everywhere he's gone. He works with a large group of devotees and has regular classes online, sends out emails, is very influential, and was one of the great inspirers here at ISV near the beginning. So we're thrilled to see you, and thank you very much for coming back to see us. Hare Krishna. Goal setting is part of the vision. And a couple of quotes from Prabhupada about goals. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. So I'll just repeat that disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And that disturbance can also be interpreted as lack of balance. That if you don't have an ultimate goal, then you can accept so many other ideas and you'll be tipped over most of your life. The mind needs somewhere to rest. Otherwise, it will fly all over the universe, creating havoc for the embodied soul. The best place to fix the mind is on doing good for others. Quote, it should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. That's from Bhagavad Gita 17.16. And the first quote about disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal is from Bhagavad Gita 2.66. And in a lecture, Prabhupada said, one has to do good for others. That is Madhyama Adhikari. From a lecture, November 12, 1972. I love that quote. It's such a nice sutra. And it defines the Madhyama Adhikari. One has to do good for others. This is Madhyama Adhikari. That's the mood of the preacher. He's thinking how to do good for others. What a great life, just thinking how to do good for others, how to do the best for others. Then, Sankhyapurva Kanamagana Natibiv, a song by Srinivasacharya in which he talks about the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were setting goals all the time for their devotional service. How many times they chanted every day, how they were reading and bowing down in scheduled moment, measurement every day. Srila Prabhupada, how will the movement go on when I leave? Giriraj Maharaj, follow the principles, be sincere. Srila Prabhupada, no, by intelligence and organization. So there's a practical aspect to the organizing our lives, organizing the movement, and so forth. We can say, just be sincere and so forth, and that's true. But at the same time, we also have to have intelligence and organization. And then another favorite quote of mine from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Kalidas had a goal to honor the remnants of every Vaishnav in Bengal. And that'd be an interesting goal. How to honor the remnants, the prasadam remnants of every Vaishnav in Silicon Valley. Okay, so why set goals? Goals give you purpose because your mind needs a target. And you can't hit a target that you can't see. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So you need to have purpose, priorities, and persistence. Purpose, priorities, and persistence. When you know how long you have to do something, you can persist in doing it. This is part of goal setting, is you have a certain set time. You have the law of forced efficiency. It means if you know you have 30 days to reach a goal, you can tolerate anything practically for 30 days, right? And in 30 days, if you persist at something, you can get a lot done. You can change your life. You can move to the next level. For instance, if you were to practice an instrument like the mridanga, and you decided that, you know, every day I'm going to practice for half an hour for 30 days, you would definitely improve. You would show marked improvement. What else would you improve if you practiced for 30 days? Waking up at a certain time. Yeah, you would get into a certain pattern and habit, and then it would start to feel natural, waking up at a set time in the morning and not just getting up whenever you feel like it. What else you could practice?
Reading.
You get good at reading. Okay, so some reasons that people don't set goals, they don't have good reasons. Number two, they don't know how effective it is. Number three, they don't know how. Number four, they fear that they might fail. Number five, they feel overwhelmed being too busy and disorganized. There's a lot here. I'm just looking through it because we have 12 minutes. Okay. Here's some goal setting tips. I've given this one before, and I'll give it again now. Decide what you want, and? Decide what you want, and? Decide what you want, and? Decide what you want, and write it down. This is a powerful goal setting thing, and you should do it between now and the first of the year. Take some time off. Take a day off. Take 2 days off, if you can, from your work and other obligations, because it takes a little time to decide what you want. You'll see what I mean when you sit down and you start thinking about what's coming up in the next year. Take some time. It's important. You know, sit with your spouse, sit with your temple president, sit with your, you know, whoever, you know, who's important in your life and who helps you to make decisions, and talk about what you really want. And then write down the things that are most important to you. And then we talk about SMART goals. This is an old formula, but it's very important, and that is goals should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And if you just say, I want to improve, that's not very specific. But if you say, I want to exercise for 15 minutes every day, that is more specific. But if you say, I'm going to jump rope for 15 minutes every day, it's even more specific. You know, the more specific you can be, the better it is. And then measurable, you have to be able to show a beginning and an end, and know that you've reached the goal at a certain time. So if you're going to say, I'm going to jump rope for a certain number of minutes, I'll start at 2 minutes jump roping, and then I'll make it up to 5 minutes by the end of the month. And then you can measure that and see how you do. And nothing is so encouraging as progress. When you actually see progress, then you'll want to do more. and it should be attainable. That is, when we set goals at IHV for the next MSF, we go around and around, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days, talking about it, because it needs to be challenging, but at the same time, we have to have some kind of feeling that it's attainable. If we said, let's do 1,000,000 books, we would, you know, feel that that's out of range. It's not attainable. But when we said 20,000 books, then we felt, okay, it's a stretch, but we can do it. You know, it's definitely within our power. If we have to, whatever, I'll mortgage my house or something like that, but we can do it. And realistic is very similar to attainable, but it makes an R in smart. And timely means that you have to set a time when it's going to be achieved, when you're starting, when you're going to finish it. That makes a clear goal. It's like at meetings all the time. Sometimes people come together and they talk about a lot of ideas, and they don't make a timely goal, and who's in charge and so forth. And they walk away, and then come back for the next meeting, and nothing happened. So this is a problem. So, you know, for our personal goals and in goals when we're setting goals with our family and so forth, it's better to make them smart goals and be very specific and timely. Also say, we're going to achieve this. We're going to read the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav by Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj by such and such a date. We'll finish it, and then you can break it down. You say, we need to read 5 pages a day, and we'll do that every night at dinner time or something like that. And then you have a very smart goal, something you can finish. And that's realistic, isn't it? And it's measurable. Next thing is to write your goals in present tense and make them positive. For instance, I read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in the next 5 years. That's in the present tense, and it's very positive. It's in other words, if you say, what's that, Malini? I want to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or if you say, make a negative goal, like, I quit smoking or something like that, you know, giving up something. Better to take the positive side. I only breathe fresh air into my lungs or something like that. And write it in the present tense. Because the idea is that the mind takes it that, you know, the goal is already there. It's just a little bit of time and discipline separating yourself. Next is break large goals into smaller tasks. This is one of my favorites, and it works in all kinds of circumstances. Even if your goal is, today I'm going to clean the house. And then your mind says, I don't feel like cleaning the house. That strikes a chord. And then you say, but you have to clean the house. And so, okay, how am I going to done? Just do one thing at a time. Go pick up that receipt. It goes in the receipt box. It doesn't belong on the desk. So start with that. And next is there's a pair of socks under the chair. Those can go in the laundry, right? And then you move. What else would you do? You got to move to the next thing. Vumi.
Yeah, I have a good one for cleaning the house.
Okay.
yeah, because I, you know, things pile up. And I go, I come in the kitchen and it's like bomb hit it. And I'll go, I don't want to deal with it. And then I just go, okay, I'm going to do 25 things, just 25. And then, you know, I put something in the cupboard, that's one. I put a dish away, that's two, you know, like that, whatever.
I like that.
And yeah. I find that, you know, when you got 75 things done when you just were saying, because 25 seems so doable.
Yeah, and it makes them, and then you get momentum, right?
Yeah.
I've done that with weeding. Because in my garden, it seems sometimes the rains, and they think, how did thousands of weeds come up overnight? And then where do I start? And think, okay, just pull 100 weeds, and then I'm done. And then...
I also do that on Sankirtan, that, you know, I go, you know, I can feel, you know, some resistance, and then I say, well, why is it that you're feeling some resistance? And I go, well, I don't want to hear people say no. And then I decide how many times I can hear no. You know, well, can you hear it 10 times? Can you hear it 20 times? And I decide, yeah, I can hear it 20 times. So I just write it down, you know. I just, every time I meet someone, I write it down, whether they said no or not. And then after, I've heard the 20th no, I say, oh, I can do 20 more. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, very nice. Powerful. Very good. Okay, so break down into smaller tasks. Example, ask how many pages a day must I read to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 year or 2 years. So looking at the Srimad Bhagavatam may seem overwhelming, but if you break it down into a smaller task, you can do that, and it works with everything. 5, create accountability by sharing your goals with others that you trust, and you can reveal to them, here's what I'm working on. And then, you know, they can kind of watch out for you and see how you're doing with your goals. 6, make your list of goals visible and review it often. Very powerful. So say this year you make a list of 10 things that you want to achieve. Put it on a piece of paper and put it up where you can see it every day, or make it a point to read it on a regular basis. In fact, some people have recommended to rewrite it at least once a week. Or if you really want to get, rewrite it every day, take some time to rewrite what your goals are. Because what happens is you forget your mission, you forget your goals over time, and you start drifting off into all kinds of other things, and then you'll find yourself in a whirlpool of habits that you weren't expecting. So to keep your mind focused on the goal, you have to rewrite it, or at least make it visible so you read it every day. But even better to rewrite your goals, because then they'll become pinpoint. So we have about 3 minutes left, so we can either go on with this or stop now and get set up for the Artik. We'll vote. 1, keep going. 2, Artik.
Keep going.
Okay, and vote for Artik. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. 1, we keep going and finish the discussion on goals and some other sharing. And 2 is we go for Artik. So 1, raise your hand, vote. 2. Okay. We'll keep going. So 6 is to make your list of goals visible and review it often. Where attention goes, energy flows. So very powerful. If you keep looking back at your goals, then your energy will go in that direction. 7, stay on course, regularly assess and celebrate your progress. So at intervals, you can see how you're doing and appreciate how Krishna has empowered you and brought you special kinds of things that you weren't expecting, and take some time to celebrate that at intervals. Just like we were just over at Hansapriya's house for a lovely celebration, and we were just sharing a few thoughts, and I think it was it Vrindavan Priya who brought up? Yeah, he said, we were talking about what things are you taking from 2013, what lessons and you're taking into 2014. He expressed a deep appreciation for the fact that we got this new temple. And how much went into it, it's hard to say, but if we actually think back to all the effort that we all put into this and all the energy, it was quite a task. And it's easy enough just to make such an accomplishment, get into it, and then forget about it because you're thinking about the next thing and the next thing. So it's a good idea to sort of gather up your successes and look at them and appreciate them and celebrate them at regular intervals. Good for your goal-setting progress. 8, if needed, adjust your goals to make them realistic and exciting. This means you may have to adjust them up or down. So at a certain point, you may find that you're not hitting your goal because it wasn't realistic or attainable. So adjust it so that you can make it realistic and attainable, and then it will become enlivening again. If your mind drops it because it's not realistic or attainable, then it's not a good goal. It's not a smart goal. So make it smart again. Number 9, categorize your goals. No one can stop you. You can just take a, you know, when you're writing these down between now and the first of the year, what I do is don't restrict yourself just to lined paper. Be a little creative. Like, you can get paper that artists write on. You know, don't have any lines, and you can get yourself some colored pens or crayons. That's even better. Go back to kindergarten mode. Get yourself some crayons and something to draw on, and, you know, be experimental, and don't be so linear. You know, draw pictures, things like that. And then you can think of categories as well, like spiritual. I have a few categories here, but let's hear you name what categories of your life. You all have different categories because we talked about at the same time, right? You're a different person at the office than you are at the temple, probably, aren't you? You dress differently, maybe. Not anymore, it's California. But you definitely have different categories of activities and parts of your life. So what are some of the categories that you could think of?
Education,
yeah. Hansapriya? Professional, personal. Yeah, two different categories. Parenting is a whole category unto itself. What else? Personal health. Yes, your personal health is a big category. Family, yes. Is it Lakshmi back there? Mahalakshmi, yes. What is it? Homework and grades, yes. And who was in the front? Mayapur. Financial. That takes a lot of focus. It's a category unto itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sadhana. That's it's a category you could look at. That's why you need a little time to do this. You need to take a few days, because once you get into these categories, you see each one has a life of its own. You could have, you know, get one of those notebooks that has several sections, and you can dedicate a section to each one of these and go through the goals in each section. For instance, let's say sadhana, let's do that one first. Say you have a section in your notebook where you're going to write down and draw pictures and crayons, maybe finger painting, about sadhana and how to improve your sadhana and so forth. What kinds of subcategories would you put in your sadhana section of your goal-setting notebook? Read books that you want to read. I have so many books in my library that, when I got them, I thought, I got to read this right away. And then Srivas Pandit's laughing because he has a voracious appetite for knowledge and reading and so forth. And he has so many books. We were talking about this the other day, so I know. And when you look at them, sometimes I hear them calling to me, and I just, you know, I want to read them. And when can I get to them and so forth? So which book do you want to read? That's a very nice goal to set. What else? In subcategories of sadhana. Which verses you want to memorize? You might line them all up for 2014, right? What else? Sadhana goals. What time you're going to chant. What's your time frame? That could be a good one. Japa, you said? Japa is could be a whole other category. So you could break that out into... Yes? Quality of chanting. How, you know, you can make a list of ways that you can improve your quality of chanting. Going on in Sankirtan regularly. Yeah, how many times you're going to go out this year and where you're going to go and things like that. You can really brainstorm that. You may need 6 days now. Okay, what else? Categories, subcategories of your sadhana, how to improve it. Yes. Yes, a question from Hansapriya. Give her the microphone, please.
I struggle that, and I feel torn sometimes because, like what we were reading earlier, that, you know, the clear intelligence and expertise are required. So when we're writing the subcategories and then professional and personal and financial, all the goals, it's like by the end of the goal writings, so I'm like completely thrown off and all over. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to focus on my sadhana, so everything else will just follow. Is that a proper thinking?
Well, it's best adjusted if you're going to do it at the same time. If you're going to go off into the Himalayas and just do, I mean, if you're going to move to Mayapur and just sit down and do sadhana, you have to do it at the same time because you're maintaining a house and doing other things, right? So you could consider that your sadhana is fundamental to every other part of your life. It's the foundation. It's foundational in which you build everything else. You should take time to look at the other categories as well. And for instance, health, that's a different category. I think Gandharvika brought that up, a category of how to take better care of yourself. It's important. Prabhupada did it, and he integrated it into his life every day. He was religious about a walk he went on, and he walked fast, and he was walking for health. He was sedentary most of the day because he was writing. And the doctor told him, you know, your heart needs this. Your circulatory system needs this. So Prabhupada said, okay, it's practical. It's for health. Body's a robot. You got to take care of it. So, you know, you need that. So you have to factor that in also. Your life has to be balanced. And if you just say, I'll do my sadhana and everything else will just fall into place, it may fall on you instead of falling into place because you didn't, you know, take time to attend to it. But you can consider Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kohe Suridanishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. That the more you focus on, you know, doing service for Krishna, and the more everything is meant for that, whatever else you're doing, complements that, everything else is done by that. But it doesn't mean that you can neglect other things and still be progressive. Yes?
So I just want to add more to what Hansapriya Mataji was saying. Particularly as a woman, it becomes overwhelming because you have your career goals, you have
it
your
becomes,
kids.
It becomes, what's it?
It becomes more overwhelming.
What when, is it?
The goals that you said, because it becomes more anxious that suppose if you want to move a level above in your career or you have some financial goals to attain. So how do we balance? Because sometimes we
don't
do
set
achieve
such
your
high
goal.
Goals. Then set goals that are realistic and attainable. If you set goals that are overwhelming to you and then they're throwing you out of balance, then reform your goals so that they're not so demanding, and so that you do have time for your sadhana and so forth. That's the first thing, and then everything else is built on that foundation. Fact is, your life is going to go on, whether you like it or not. And so you have to plan for it and learn how to organize parts of your life so that, you know, you can serve better and so forth. You can be a better service to others if you're organized. And you notice that, you know, if you serve with people who are not organized, they can't get that much done because they're looking for the keys. They're not taking care of their health, so they have to take time off. And that, you know, you can't be as valuable if you don't take care of the other things in your life. And if you don't take care of your finances, you won't have anything to contribute. Grihasthas should contribute. That's what they do. They're meant to contribute to the other ashrams and say, here, you're not working, we'll help you out. So if you don't take care of your money and you just squander it or you know, and you say it doesn't matter, then what are you going to do? You won't have anything left to donate because you didn't take care of it, right? So if you're overwhelmed by certain, if you're setting goals that are putting you in deep anxiety because it looks like you can't attain them or they're too hard or they're pushing other things out of proportion, then reform them so that, and start on the easy side and then work your way up. Start small and then increase later. That goes to partly, if needed, adjust your goals to make them realistic and exciting. This means you may have to adjust them up or down. And then we're categorizing. So there's spiritual goals we talked about, and then family, professional, health, fitness, etc. Like health goals. Anybody here have any goals to take care of themselves physically? Yes, Adi Guruprabhu, what's your goal? What do you do? Reducing weight. How are you going to do that?
So change my diet and also regular exercise.
Okay, and then you have to get specific with that. I mean, do a little research and find out how to change your diet so you don't hurt yourself or something like that, so you do it realistically. And then decide what kind of exercise you're going to do. And sometimes with exercise, health clubs, every health club in the Bay Area will tell you that the biggest increase in membership happens when? During the summer? During the summertime? When? January 1st. And when's the biggest drop off? January 2nd. It's generally around the beginning of February and March. There's a spike, and then it starts going down like this down through the year, because people have the best intentions and they join and they think, I'll lose weight, I'll do all these things, and then gradually, you know, they get distracted and they go other ways. So you have to build in, for instance, with your health, you have to decide certain things that you can do regularly. Like Dr. Andrew Weil, who writes these books, he's a, you know, allopathically trained doctor, but he also advocates alternative medicine for acute things. Like if you break your arm or something like that, he said, go to a doctor, have it fixed. But if you have chronic kinds of ailments, then look into, you know, don't just mask the symptoms by throwing, you know, weird drugs at it, because you'll end up sick later on in your life. But find out ways through Ayurveda, through, you know, herbology and things like that, or changing your diet, that you can actually become more healthy. And in one of his books talking about health, he recommends walking. And of course, Prabhupada set an example by walking every day, and everyone should walk. Most people sit around all day. They sit behind a computer screen and just, you know, concentrate. And one of the worst things you can do for your health is sit. It's most damaging. In fact, studies are showing nowadays that if you sit long enough every day, it doesn't matter how much you exercise after that, because you're going to ruin your heart and all your circulatory system and your muscular system and everything like that. From sitting, it goes bad and becomes weak. So based on that, you should have a plan that every day, wherever you go and at home, you should work that into your schedule. You go for a walk. One thing you can do is plan meetings with people on a walk instead of sitting around. They say, I want to meet you, and say, fine, let's go for a walk. But definitely have a plan for your health every day, because it's not Maya. It's actually, you need, it's Krishna's system, just like the temple car. We don't have one, but if we did, we would say somebody should take care of the oil change. And someone should make sure that the tires are inflated properly so it doesn't waste money. There's no difference between that and writing down a goal and saying, I'm going to walk every day for Krishna so that I take care of my robot that Krishna gave me through the material energy so that I can do more service. And it's disappointing, you know, if someone lets their health go and then they can't serve later on in life because they're not available, because they neglected it. It's actually disappointing. Another thing is to drink enough water. That's another general health thing. Drink an appropriate amount of water every day. Don't drink sodas and sugar drinks and all these kinds of things, because your pancreas has to get involved and it's not good for your system. But water is responsible for many or most of the functions of your body to work properly. You need a sufficient amount of water. And when you deprive yourself of good, clean water every day, then the systems start to break down because they have to function on less water. And then you get chronically dehydrated and then you get sick. Why are you laughing, Gandharvika? Is there an ongoing thing about this? What?
It's just seeing Priya Kishori and thinking because it has been very hard and we argue about making her drink water.
Yeah, generally, I like Ayurveda, there's a, you know, when you wake up in the morning, one of the first things to do is drink enough water, purifies your system, it cleans out all the organs and things. These are specific things, but you can make slight adjustments in your habits for health and make a big difference. So categories, make categories and then go into them and take some time to make goals about each one of those. Okay, and now we want to hear some realizations that you have. Just what lessons did you learn in 2013 that you are taking with you into 2014? Name one lesson. Let's put it like this. One lesson. Give a brief description of what lesson you learned during devotional practice or anything that you think will be helpful that you're taking with you into 2014. Sundar, Ananda Prabhu, and then Priya Kishori.
Prabhu, I have a question.
Yes.
Is it? So setting the goals, I mean, it certainly helps, but how not to be distracted? Can you give us some pointers?
How not to be distracted after you set your goals? Make them visible. One thing is, if you make your goals visible and you read them every day or at least once a week and you post them where you can see them or you rewrite them, which is the most powerful thing that you can do. Take the time to rewrite your goal. You'll just try this experiment. Rewrite your goals on a regular basis because you'll become so energized by them because where attention goes, energy flows. And the problem is with becoming distracted is you become disattracted from your goals because you're not paying attention to them. And once you see what the benefit is behind them and they're specific, the mind will catch on to them and you'll go for it. But after some time of not looking at them, you'll get attracted to other lesser goals. Actually, I just wrote about this today because there's a quote that I like about how we don't make a lot of our goals because we get attracted to lesser goals. We're always going for some goal, but we can determine which ones we want to go through by making them very visible and keeping them in the fore. Keep them in front of you and look at them. Revisit it regularly. Put it on the dashboard of your car or put it on your mirror or somewhere on your desk or something like that. And then also sometimes that's not good enough because it becomes visual noise after a while and you just don't pay attention to it. So then you have to like rewrite it or sit down and you know, go through it again with somebody and say, how are these working? And they'll say, oh, these are great goals. You know, how are you doing with them? But attention is the main thing. Okay? Lessons from 2013 that you're taking with you into 2014. Priya Kishori.
One of the lessons I learned in 2013 was don't procrastinate and set off the biggest assignments or anything till the last minute. So that's the one important thing I learned. And one more thing was I was hearing some motivational speaker and he was saying that humans, out of all the animals and species in the animal kingdom or anything, they're the ones who don't attempt to their fullest ability. So set goals that go to your fullest ability. So that's one thing.
Nice. For what they make of you to achieve the goal. They're very nice. No procrastination in 2014 then, eh? That's a good thing to work on. Mayapur? Lessons from 2013 that you're taking into 2014.
Sometimes I was seeing
especially with respect to book distribution. We had a convention in Vegas and we did not have any entry. So a couple of devotees from Vegas and Oregon, they said that, you know, let's go and just try. We'll have a, you know, we'll try to contact moteliers outside or something. So we were not too sure. But eventually we decided, yeah, you know, what's the harm in just going out for book distribution? Let's try. And within 3 days, they got orders for 7,000 books. So one thing, you know, as far as book distribution is concerned, just go out and do it. I mean, of course, not every time you're going to make it such huge, but, you know, if you go out, positive intention, sometimes just that going out is the toughest part, but then things do follow.
Yeah. Try. Really good lesson. Good. Let's keep them going. Who else? Kameshri? Okay.
To focus more on circle of influence rather than circle of concern.
Circle more on your focus more on the circle of influence than the circle of concern. Yes. Very nice. Okay, SKB?
Planning ahead, like last year, Gita Jayanti, or this year. Every year we think we have to plan ahead, but myself and Vishaka Mataji and Malini Mataji said for next year we have to plan at least in September.
Nice. So planning ahead for big events and preaching events.
I have been having this thought for a long time, but especially last year, the realization that I had was any activity, I mean, I was not, there were many opportunities for me to sufficiently engage in Krishna consciousness, which I didn't. So my realization is that it's like, engage yourself, like any activity which is not taking you closer to Krishna will only make you, you know, feel frustrated. On the other hand, any activity that you do that takes you closer to Krishna is what will give you the most inner fulfillment. And the hashtag that I want to take into 2014 is take more Krishna and give more Krishna.
Take more Krishna, give more Krishna.
And on a community level, we want to do it by giving more Krishna to through Vedic Academy to all the children in Bay Area.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Are we? It looks like we're going systematically through. So let's go quick because we got a lot of devotees. We'd like to hear from everyone who has some lesson to.
The main lesson that I learned is how the association keeps you focused, even if you drift away. So it's really inspiring to have association of devotees who are at same level you are, but doing much more than what you do. Mm. Because that gave me lots of confidence. And when I become more frustrated, I just compare myself to them, then see how they do it, and it provides some confidence to grow more and deeper into Krishna consciousness. And I want to strengthen that in 2014.
Nice.
Prabhuji Bhai, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the senior devotees.
That's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes. You said that this is a lesson, a realization from 2013
yes.
that you...
Yes.
You relished it or...?
Yes, Prabhuji, I have relished it as well as the Shravanadi Jala quotes for... What we get through the emails, they have really helped me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good to know. Lessons from 2013 that you're taking into 2014.
Be proactive, act, or be acted upon.
Be proactive, act, or be acted upon. Okay, that's good. Good to keep in mind.
Keep the association of the devotees.
So keep association with devotees. Nice. Okay.
I think morning is the best time for chanting.
Nice.
Later on, you give some.
Good lesson.
One of the main lessons I have is just be more disciplined to carry on my professional work as well as the sadhana.
Be more disciplined in sadhana and professional work. Thank you.
I would like
so far I have placed more like a extra tire in a car. Like, you know, I try to fill the gap. But this year, towards the last part, I want to get specifics into some specific service. So say, for example, attending class, after that, you know, do some assimilation of what's happening. I don't typically do. So it's like I have tens of thousands of things in the mind. And, you know, even when I visualize sometimes, I'm not even completing sentences and going into the next one. So I would like to take a pause because contribution to others will increase more if it's getting into a more structured and assimilated form. So that's one thing which I'm going for next year.
Nice.
Next year I want to do my rounds daily because I sometimes can't do all of my rounds.
Nice, so you focus on your rounds. Very good, Vasudev.
Learning the lessons from each situation and taking that lesson and trying to keep for lifelong that anytime. Because in my, Vaishnavas have helped a lot in all the situation, so I'll take the lesson that no matter what, but I'll try to serve them and I'll try to help who needed that.
Thank you very much. So gathering your lessons as you go, keeping them. Yes.
Like the lesson I learned that often I used to think that there are some other things which means which keep me away from Krishna consciousness or myself from advancing, some obstacles or some situations around me. But I learned in this year that it's myself only which keep myself behind or don't want to advance in devotional service.
Nice. Powerful lesson.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lesson I learned is that different people are at different level of consciousness and I should respect their desires or way of their doing things.
And very good, yeah.
That's pretty much.
Thank you very much.
And the lesson that I learned is that you should always follow what is Vashish Prabhu doing all the time.
I better really tighten up my... Okay.
Yes, I lost some close family members this year, so lesson I learned is sort of act now because life is going to end at some time.
Mm-hmm. Very profound, yeah.
I think the lesson I learned is I need to get better at prioritizing my task, and sometimes, as we were talking, some of the things which I consider them to be important are probably not, so I need to focus on what is important really and eliminate things which can go away.
Nice. Thank you.
This year, there's so many lessons, but one thing that that I want to carry on towards 2014 is the instruction that Brahma gave to Prithu Maharaj. Many times things go out of your control, like it's sometimes providential, sometimes it's out of your influence. But to remember to tolerate, that is one thing that I practiced a little bit this year, but not to the extent that I wanted to. So I just want to be more tolerant and then continue to be more next year.
Beautiful. Thank you. Turn that down.
Prabhuji, this year I want to focus on circle of influence versus circle of concern, and be able to distinguish them take that to the next year in a more certain and profound way. So that's my goal.
Thank you.
To read Prabhupada books regularly, at least half an hour a day, start with Bhagavad Gita.
Thank you.
Third chapter.
observe more about senior people, what the more influential people, what they are doing both in spiritual and material life, and try to imbibe some of their qualities in my personal life.
Nice.
You set attainable and realistic goals in 2014.
Set attainable and realistic goals 2014. Okay.
I learned to do things on time, and this I want to make sure that in the next year I'm managing time properly and doing things on time so that the results are also good.
That's a big thing, being on time. Jai Shishi Radhamadan Mohan Chi Ki Jai, Jai Shiman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Shishi Lakshmi Nishingadev Ki Jai, Gop Premanande Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Throughout the year, I did some few services, but as the year is coming to close, I realized in so many different ways that whatever few services I did, actually I wasn't actually good at them, but somehow or other, probably I never scrutinized it and never looked at it that, you know, am I doing it proper? I mean, good consciousness with a good proper intention. But now, as the year is ending, I know and I feel very bad about it, actually, that that consciousness is very important. And as I was telling this thing to Sri Gopal Prabhu, and he was telling that, he told me about Srila Prabhupada's one quote. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, why are you chanting? And Prabhupada said that we are chanting so that we can continue chanting. So Prabhuji was saying that as at least you continued the services, even though it was not, if you feel it was not, you know, very perfectly done, but you continued. And I feel that is, I think that was very important what he said. And at the same time, I also desire to improve in whatever I do. So I realize that it is important that we continue whatever little bit I am doing. Also, I also mentioned to Nirukala Mataji, and she mentioned that she also mentioned the same thing that, yeah, you continuing services, that is very important. And this is what I would like to keep in mind as I enter 2014, and at the same time try to improve the intention of the service, what I am doing, and the quality.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Just wanted to tell whatever Malini Mataji said was in my heart, and she just spoke out. And actually, in today's class only I got realization, Prabhuji, that I set some goals for 2013, but it didn't went well, and I was just talking to my mother just before coming to the class, and we was just contemplating what happened in 2013. And I got the realization that I was setting goals. I was thinking, I was planning in the circle of concern, but outside of circle of influence. So I just got realization of, because I didn't have that. I was not planning in the circle of influence. So everything went into outside the circle I was planning. So that's why it didn't get well, and I couldn't do much. So, of course, I'm thinking that this is very nice lesson for 2014, that I should plan for in circle of influence and make such goals in circle of influence, so that, you know, at the end of 2014, at least I will think, okay, I have planned properly. Thank you, Prabhuji, for
Thank
your
you
wonderful
much.
Class.
Nice.
The lesson last year I learned is that for the mental satisfaction or for the every satisfaction, we have to be included, or we have to focus on the Krishna consciousness. And for that, we have to be in the association of the devotees.
Nice. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
So two lessons I'll like to take it from 2013-2014. One is to be in present, because most of the time things which are not falling into place are probably things which have happened in the past or the worries about the future. But most often than not, they will actually disappear. So rather than worry about them, just live in the present and concentrate. And the second lesson which I would like to take is like haste makes waste. So don't act in hurry. And think about it and then take your time. As you said, take your time. Do what you want to do. Decide what you want to do and write it down. So these two lessons I'll take.
Very nice. The other night when I was in Toronto, I was talking about, you know, planning and taking your time to surrender and everything, like do your duties properly. Shubha Vilas Prabhu had a lot of association with Prabhupada, was saying that he said, but Prabhupada once told him, but don't take too long to surrender. That's what he was talking about specifically. Don't take too long, because anything can happen. Someone brought that up about relatives passing away and seeing how little time there is. Nice points, Hari Vamsha Prabhu.
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu. So the one thing I learned over the past weekend was if you don't prioritize your sadhana or chanting, right, no matter what you do, things won't get done. The reason is, like, on Sunday, right, I started off in a very lazy mood and I just finished one round, but then I had a family emergency and I had to rush to the hospital. So almost like 6:30 or 7, the day just blew by. But then I got some window later and I realized that I had to rush through my rounds. So if you don't prioritize your stuff right, things won't get done. That's one thing.
Nice point. Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So few things I would like to take. One is, in whatever situations you are, always take the shelter of holy name. I heard this from His Holiness Hanumat Prekshak Maharaj, and I tried to think about this quote from Maharaj, and I would like to continue that. The other thing I meditated on this is the three points that you mentioned is serious, strict, and sincere about the sadhana. I meditated on that, but was not able to follow it. But I would like to take it up in 2014. And on the health side, I usually go for 30-minute walk every weekday. But somehow in off days or vacation time, I don't tend to follow it. So I would like to be, regulate you in all the days of the week.
Thank you. Very nice. I didn't finish my thought about Dr. Andrew Weil, and that was what he said about walking. And that is, it doesn't require any paraphernalia. And also, you can do it into your old age, generally, unless you have some serious joint problems, like hips or something. But generally, most people can, and you can do it pretty much anywhere. It's regularly, so get in the habit of walking. Walk instead of driving. Also, go for stairs rather than escalators and elevators whenever you can. Whenever I'm traveling, whenever I can, I just take the stairs because I'm, sitting on airplanes doing this and that. And just walk and walk and make a regulated time you can walk every day. And then come out to Govardhan for Kartik and walk around Govardhan every day too. Okay, who's next? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So in 2013, the realization in retrospect I see is that chanting is very much related to the stability of life. And in more specifically, chanting is like offering of our consciousness to the Lord. So just like when performing the yajna, like the ghee is offered to the fire. So similarly, the consciousness is the investment that we put when we chant. So the quality of consciousness, the intensity of consciousness we invest in chanting correlates to the stability in our life. And that also gives the inner strength to be present and to be conscious throughout the day instead of going mechanical. I want to, now that I know what's lacking, so I want to improve on that.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Guru. This year I realized that if we take small and consistent steps over a period of time, then we achieve a huge progress and goals are very easily met. So that was one of my realization. I could achieve some of my goals. And because of these small things, I thought, you know, I need to do big. But then I started doing some small steps and over a period of time, I achieved them. So that was my realization. And I want to extend this same thing into the next year, into my sadhana, into my personal life, into my health, that small and consistent steps. Or, you know, there is other things like we say, like page by page, become a sage. Mm. So I could realize that. Thank you.
Very encouraging. Thank you.
I would like to do two things going forward, 2014, and that is, you know, remembering Krishna while we're doing our regular work.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. One lesson I would like to carry into 2014 is to prioritize. Like a few Matajis said before, like you have to prioritize in order to get things done and also manage my time.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. 2013 lessons learned is thanks to the wonderful presentation that you were showing, the concern circle is so big. So I am kind of stuck in that big, wider area. So
sure.
This year, 2014, I would like to narrow down as much as possible into the influence kind of thing. And I would like to continue the 2014, like keeping a more devotee association and, you know, putting that one in a consistent manner for me and my family, like especially kids. Thank you, Professor.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Make a better health in 2014.
Better health in 2014. Okay. Is walking on your list?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One thing I want to carry on to 2014 is to be confident in who I am, to carry on who I am, and like not being lazy, not bad characteristics, but like for example, when I went on Sankirtan with some of the Prabhujis and Matajis, I know that there are definitely people in the world who don't support what I'm doing, who think I'm crazy for what I'm doing, and who think that I shouldn't be doing those things, and they think I'm wasting my time. But I just have to like do what's best and keep going on what I think is best. So,
thank you. That was beautiful.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
In 2013, I realized that I lost my focus and discipline in all spheres of my life. So I just want to regain that going into 2013.
New beginnings. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now's the time to restart. Push the restart and decide which way you want to go. Nice. Thank you for that.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we have a song in Hindi which says that, Krishna, you do everything and people think I'm doing. So I like that song a lot. And so I keep thanking Krishna whenever people think that I did something, so that I is not coming out. So it keeps me humble. So I keep thanking Krishna again and again whenever people appreciate my achievement or something like that.
Very nice. Very practical. Thank you for that.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I want to be, in 2013 to 2014, I realized that I should not be very much attached. And another thing I want to be more serious in devotional life.
Thank you. Jai, Hadivo, beautiful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, my goal for 2014 is to read more books of Prabhupada.
and try to distribute more books.
Thank you. And great to see you back. Thank you.
So 2013, I was very bad in time management. And this year, 2014, I want to be a little better in time, managing my time, so that I can do maximum service.
Very practical. Thank you.
Prabhu, there's a text from Rasika Mataji.
Who is it coming from?
Rasika Mataji from Austin, from Houston, I think.
Austin.
Rasika Shiromani.
Rasika Shiromani. She's in Austin.
Yeah, I think in Houston, not in Austin.
Oh, she went to Houston.
Yeah. Realization from 2013 is life is too short and precious to waste time and get distracted. So goal for 2014 is try not to waste time and check it on a daily basis so that at the end of each day, check it on a daily basis at the end of each day so that at least I can fix the mistakes on a daily basis.
I like that. That's beautiful. And thanks for being on the broadcast, Rasika Shiromani.
And Govind Charan Prabhu's one more text.
Yes, Govind Charan.
Chant with strong intention, seeking everyone's blessings to be able to do that.
Okay, everyone say Hari Bol, give him blessings to be able to do that. There you go, Govind Charan Prabhu. Everyone sending blessings.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I had the same goal like Govind Charan Prabhu, improve the quality of my chanting and also read Srimad Bhagavatam in a way that I can apply the lessons of Bhagavatam in my consciousness.
Very nice. Thank you. And another text just came in to Mukaravind's machine. Is it a little robot?
One hour before is from Sudip Prabhu, our own dear Sudip Prabhu. How do we know it is providential? Like when we are discussing about providential, so how do we know it is providential? His question is.
When you bang your head against the wall, there's nothing else you can do. And you ask everyone and no one can fix the problem. And they look at you like, good luck.
And we have come in from Nikhil Prabhu from East Coast. He's saying,
oh, this is from Nikhil.
Yeah.
Jai Nikhil.
So he's saying his realization from 2013. Every soul has its own journey. I'll start again. Every soul has its own journey, but at the same time, do everything possible in my energy to help them. That is, try to be unattached while being attached. Very difficult, but I'm going to work on it.
Nice.
And another realization is devotee association is very important.
So devotee association is very important. Thank you, Nikhil. Beautiful. Sanatan Syndrome. And Ramananda Sakha.
I'm trying my best to be in Krishna consciousness and supporting the devotees. I need more blessings to chant and do some services. And I also request you that once in a month or once in every 2 months, if you keep this kind of classes or lectures over and over, this way it would help us and keep thinking about, keep pondering about this over and over.
Okay.
To succeed in our life.
Practical kind of things? Yeah? Do you feel like that too? Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yay! Another text, and then we have Ramananda Sakha.
This is from Shraddha Mataji. She's telling that to be more grateful, that is her first realization. And second is also stretch myself in my circle of influence. My problem is not that I go into the circle of concern, but that I do not stretch enough in my circle on influence.
Touche. Nice, Shraddha Devi Dasi. Thank you. Ramananda Sakha Prabhu.
Do not lord over.
Do not lord it over? Nice. Lessons from this year? One of the big ones was what a lot of devotees mentioned. I really like the circle of influence. model, and as I revealed about the, you know, big challenge, you know, that came up, and it threw me, it actually spun me into some anxiety that I had to talk to God brothers about. But then, you know, I felt the medicine of the verse. So managing that awareness of my circle of influence in relationship to the my circle of concern is a really important lesson. There are more. Anyway, I'll leave it at that for now. It's nice to think about that, isn't it? To gather together these things. Natalie, we didn't hear from you.
Sorry, I have a cold, so I didn't think I should speak. But for me, this is a very emotional, overwhelming year. And difficult to talk about. I finally found what I've been looking for since I was three. And I had never given up, but I never thought it would happen maybe in this lifetime, in this body. And looking at my Vedic chart, I had professionals tell me that doubtful that I would find my spiritual master in this lifetime. But I never gave up. And I'm just overwhelmed with Krishna's mercy. I'm very grateful to the devotees in San Diego and here. Everybody's been very open, helpful, supportive. And I'm very grateful that you have this temple and that I had a Krishna intervention on my way to another temple. And and actually moved to the Bay Area to practice sadhana somewhere else. And before that, I spent 3 weeks between school break at the San Diego Temple and had some profound experiences there, and which led me to here. And all I can think of is it was Krishna's intervention. That you have goals, you know, we're talking about goals tonight. You have your goals. I had them written down. I was very specific. Some things were in my chart that this was you know, the thing to do. And yet Krishna, you know, you can make your plans, you can have your goals, and you need to move forward and act on those. But be open. Have your heart open to other possibilities that were beyond your imagination. So thank you very much. And for next year, I'm looking forward to initiation.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bhumi, did we hear from you yet about lessons from 2013 you're taking in?
Okay. I was also very influenced by the... I forgot what
circle of influence,
and I see that this year I was sort of invited to administrate a Prabhupada disciples forum, and it's been very, very, very challenging. And I think that I had a lot of realizations about, first of all, that devotees, they get into a lot of controversial discussions and stuff. And my big realization was that we do that because we don't want to go on Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna. I like that. That's nice.
And that, you know... there's really no use in discussing these sorts of things, and I think that I think that's one of the reasons why Facebook is so popular is because we're not engaged, and but we still wanna, you know, we still want to get together with the devotees and associate and stuff, but because we're not doing proactive, positive things for Krishna, like going out and preaching. We sit there and complain, and this is wrong and that's wrong, and why can't they get it right, instead of what can I do and how can I cooperate? And I think that I see myself and I see other people getting into things that aren't in their sphere of influence. And I would like to stay focused on the things that I can change. There's actually, in the 12-step program, isn't there a prayer about...
Yes.
I can't remember exactly how it's worded, but to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and have the wisdom to know the difference.
That's it?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I missed a couple of things in there. But I think that's really what I want to focus on, and I want to help other people focus on it. I don't do a very good job. I kind of agitate people when I start preaching, so I want to be able to present it more palatably and inspiringly rather than heavy like that.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Yes.
More texts coming in, Prabhu, for
texts
you.
Texts are coming in, yes.
So this is from Gauranga Prasad Prabhu. He is from Orlando Temple, and he is a personal servant of His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, and he's watching the class, and he's thanking you for this wonderful class. And he says, I'll try to increase the Damodar Month programs to reach out to more families here in Orlando, which we did this year, and every day an aarti and cultivating a new family. That's pretty interesting, yeah.
Very nice goal.
Yeah.
That's something when Sri Krishna Purushottam brought up about planning ahead. So he's already thinking forward to Damodar Month and how to increase the service. And when you stake your claim on a certain month that's even a year away, or and you're very serious about it, it actually changes the rest of your sadhana and the way you think about things. Every discipline and every goal changes all the other priorities in your life. And so it's never too soon to plan for these things. So it's been an exciting day and exercise. This is a very important time of the year. It's a sandhya. It's a changeover from the dark time of the year, and now it's starting to get lighter because we just had the solstice. And typically people are on vacation now. And so go with this energy and take the time to not just push forward. Now's the time to really recollect all the things, all the lessons that you learned. Write some things. Take some time for yourself. Take some time with the devotees that matter to you the most, with your spouse, with your family and stuff, and really talk deeply about what's important to you and get some clarity about where you're going before you go there. And like there's an example of if you're going to climb a ladder, make sure it's up against the right wall before you start climbing on it and things like that. Because we put a lot of energy and effort into life and all the things that we do, and we want to make sure that we're aiming in the right way. So please take time during this holiday when you have time off to do some of these things and write them down, and we'll move ahead into the 2014 with great optimism and with sure footsteps, knowing we're going in the right way. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming out on a Wednesday. Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.